And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew. Goes from Huntsville all the way back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn, and yes, over to Fort Benning. I like saying it, Fort Benning. And oh, by the way, even big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, just for good measure. I like saying Fort Benning. It pleases me.
Not the hyphenated. Fort Benning.
No, it's like Fort Benning, by golly. I'm just glad. I know some folks are like, I just don't see the point. General Moore is a great man. He was a great man. This is not a slap at General Moore. This is a poke in the eye to the wokists who thought they would rename everything and make the world better. It was just asinine. By the way, let me just chase a rabbit. Can I do that?
Sure.
Mr. President, I'd like a moment of personal privilege.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So renaming Fort Benning, renaming Fort Bragg as Benning and Bragg, you look at it and go, huh. So they didn't name them after the Confederate generals. Now they're honoring different people by the same name. Let me ask you a question. Why didn't the Democrats think of that? Why didn't they just say, we intend to remove all historical reference to Confederate soldiers, but we're not going to spend the millions of dollars to change the name. We're just going to say from henceforth, it will be known as honoring this Corporal Benning or that Private Bragg.
Because they don't think that way. They think of the, cute Liberty, cute name Liberty. they don't think that far ahead.
No, they don't.
I honestly don't think they expected Trump to go out and make it a point to change him back.
They did not see this coming.
No.
No. Not at all. Chuckleheads.
They're not creative, so.
They're not. I mean, they checkers versus chess, right?
Yeah.
Although somebody did point out, checkers does require a bit of strategy.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Jeff from Indiana checking in. He says, hey, Phil, blockheaded Democrats are masters of putting square pegs in round holes. Yeah, but not the same thing. Like I said, square pegs, round holes is okay. It's the wisdom that determines whether they should go there or not. Brian from Huntsville says, square pegs and round holes, Kamala Harris. Said, I was scared we might not get her out of that round hole called the White House. Nice. Clint from Tony says, I spent 30-plus years as a multi-craft maintenance technician. I assume that means military. Thank you very much. So basically, my job description read, if it breaks, fix it, whether you have the needed parts or not. Basically, people in my trade spend most of their careers being detectives and inventors, making supervisory personnel meet their quotas. It's absolutely doable, but you have to dial your head in and not accept defeat. Man, I love that quote. That's like, why don't we just put that on a bumper? That whole thing, that's a one big bumper sticker right there. T-shirt. John from Huntsville, Phil, spectacular monologue, and I just got through eating some delicious tacos. Said, by the way, the wind is howling in Huntsville, and I was working in my junkyard, and I said to myself, I hope these trees don't fall on me. And all of a sudden, a sizable tree limb breaks and falls right in front of me, and I thought, this is a sign from God. It's time to go inside. I would say that's wisdom. Just saying. Yeah, we do have some strong weather advisories. I've actually got a men's Bible study that usually meets on Tuesday night, and we went ahead and called it for the night. And it's, you know what? I may wind up getting to the time we would have met and gone, well, it's not even raining outside. But then again, if I didn't, who knows? So, yep, that's what we're doing. Y'all be weather aware tonight, all right? John C. from Madison said, I knew Zelensky would come back. I had a feeling. Tom from Tanner, Alabama says, I think that was your best lawyer liner all time. Has to be close to record speed with excellent comprehensibility. Nice. Might ought to just grab that one. Although it's kind of fun to try and see if I can get it done every day. Some days I've had my coffee and I'm good to hook.
Yeah, it takes all the fun out of it to record it.
And then last one, Mike from Florence. Oh, maybe not the last one. Mike from Florence says, just to toot my horn, shortly before my 18th birthday, 44 years ago, he says, I was with my buddy at a New Year's Eve bash. When we left, this is a long text. He said, when we left, he hit a pothole in his 73 Pinto. Wow. He said, the rear tire started scrubbing, and upon investigation, I saw the leaf spring had broken. Nothing was open. Both nearly broke. No towing coverage. Needed to get home. I looked at the back of the car, saw some manila rope. I had my friend push on the rear end while holding the bumper, and I looped the rope several times from the rear to the bracket. Finished by wrapping it. Basically, what he's saying is, he jerry-rigged that bad boy, and they drove home. No book, he said. Definitely no online solution. Got it done. Square peg, round hole. Had to get done, didn't it, Mike? Outstanding. All right. And I do see now Jeff from Indiana giving me clarification. Thank you, Jeff. All right, listen, I'm going to jump into this topic. Dipper number one, coming up top of the hour, we'll have Emily Jones on first, and then bottom of the next hour, we'll have a collegiate athlete named Macy Petty coming on, who's very active now with Concerned Women for America. If you didn't see it, last night the Democrats showed their true colors. You saw that, I guess, didn't you? I mean,
yeah.
This goes right in line with your most recent podcast about the NCAA. Yep.
It's, you know, you're going to get into it more, but I think that just shows how out of touch the left has become. It's no longer about what the American people want. It's Trump wants it, or in this case, Tuberville wants it. It's bad.
Yeah.
Nay, ding. Nay, that's all. There's no thinking past that. And it's rather frustrating, but also expected to some degree.
So if you're not familiar, to back you up on this, what's going on is Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville, who has a long history in coaching, he took up the cause of protecting women's and girls' sports. That's what it's called, the Protecting Women's and Girls' Sports Act. And it was up before the Senate last night. Not a single Democrat, not a single Democrat voted to support this bill to keep men out of women's sports. Not a single one. I mean, you look at that and go, my gosh, I mean, some of y'all may be, you know, progressive in some ways, but you're, you know, you get it. You claim to have a faith-based worldview, and yet you do stuff like this. So none of them, not a single one, voted for it. Well, the bill required 60 votes, which meant that we had to have, at the minimum, 8, maybe 9 Democrats would have had to defect and come over and support the bill. I will tell you there's two things here. One is the priority was to try and pass the bill. That didn't happen. And you also look at it and go, well, Phil, why'd they move forward then if they didn't have the votes yet? Because number two on this is to get them on the record. Make them have to stand by their vote in the future. Make them have to do something that they will have to answer to now. Because if you notice, Chuck Schumer, what he always did was he put the hard stuff, the scary stuff off to the side that he didn't want because it put them on the record. Well, John Thune said, we're not playing that game anymore. You guys don't get to hide behind the no vote and pretend that you would have done something, but we never got the chance. No, no, no. You're now on the record. You voted to keep transgender dudes in women's sports. Live with yourself. Live with yourself during the campaigns. Live with yourself, Senator John Ossoff from Georgia, who is there's already talk about a primary against him. You live with yourself. People who allegedly are, you know, centrist Democrats. I'm not all that stuff. You went to the far left of your party on this one, every one of you.
And I wonder if they would think the same if their daughters were going up against a man.
Well, that's
sport.
It. Ossoff is a dad of a daughter. Yeah. And you look at it and go, come on, man. You would not want this in your daughter's locker room. You would not for a second want this in your daughter's locker room.
And I mean, I think about my sister, who's a college basketball player. I would not be able to sit in the stands idly by and watch her go up against. Like, I just don't think I could do it. So you can kowtow to your radical left, you know, part of your party all you want. But if you're in that situation, if you're a good dad, at least, or a good relative to whoever, I would hope that you would think much differently. So
I happen to know your family quite well because they're my family.
Yeah.
But the one that I could see actually going into the locker room and making trouble, and you know who it is? It's your mom.
Yeah.
Your mom would go in there with a stick in her hand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she was a collegiate athlete. Mm-hmm. She can go in that locker room freely. Mm-hmm. And oh, by God, I think she would have at it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Protecting our kids. We're doing something officially now, though. And this is important to recognize. We lost the vote last night. Because Democrats can't see past the noses on their face. They can't see past the most liberal base that they have to deal with in their party. But it is not slowing us down. Here's something that you need to know about tonight's speech. President Trump is giving an address to the joint session of House and Senate. He's announced he has guests coming. His guests are, first of all, the widow of a murdered NYPD officer, Jonathan Diller, who I believe was killed by an illegal alien. The family of Pennsylvania firefighter Corey Comparatore, who is the one who died at Butler, Pennsylvania, when Trump was shot. And then he's bringing a guest, is a female athlete who has traumatic brain injury from a volleyball that was spiked into her face by a man that was allowed to compete against her. And then he's bringing in a mother who saved her daughter from being transitioned by the school. When she found out what was happening, she got involved and made sure they didn't do things without her permission. Two of those four guests that he's got coming in tonight on his personal invitation are related to the issue of what is happening right now with liberal progressives trying to get to our kids. That's an amazing thing. Think about it. 50% of his guests tonight are related to the idea of protecting kids, fighting for kids, honoring people who fight for kids. So, in that vein, I will take note, Fox News, Dateline yesterday. By the way, I'm back on paper. No more cardstock today.
You didn't want to stick with the cardstock?
It rattles again. I don't have the tunk, tunk, tunk. I don't know if you saw it or not, but WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment CEO Linda McMahon was just confirmed to the Secretary of Education. Story here on Fox is that she has been put in the office and immediately announced what is called the final mission. What? Yes. She sent a memo out to every employee in the U.S. Department of Education. They should begin preparing themselves to work themselves out of a job, that they will be dismantling the Department of Education under the authority of the president and moving it back to a state's issue. Wow. Now, I don't know to what extent Congress may or may not have to get involved. We'll find out. At the very least, I guarantee you, in her words, she's going to scale down the bloatedness in that department. So, that being said, protecting kids, in part, is dealing with the Department of Education. Why did I bring that up in this relation? Because the department under the Biden administration that led the charge to allow transgenders in sports was the Department of Education. The Department of Education under the Biden administration is the one that reinvented or reimagined Title IX, the law that's been in place since 1972 to protect women's rights in education to include sports. They decided that they interpreted it to mean gender is gender identity. Therefore, they could do what they wanted in terms of enforcing the whole gender ideology on schools nationwide. That came through the Department of Education as they tried to enforce an agenda that nobody wanted except a very small minority of progressives. That department is now being dismantled. Can I have some applause on that? Because that's huge. That's So protecting kids, there are official steps being done right now to protect kids. This transgender ideology, this idea that men should be allowed to compete in women's sports, and oh, by the way, you know, hang out in the women's locker room. And how many times now are we seeing that there's a court case about someone who did something in a locker room where they shouldn't have been in the first place? The NCAA can't get their act together. They're facing a lawsuit right now because they've got a very ambiguous policy, which JP talked about in his monologue this week. Well, all that to say, there are official things being done right now to deal with the issue, because we are done sitting idly by. In the meantime, we're going to take a break. I'll take a break right now. I'll come right back. I'll jump on into this topic a little bit more. And coming up top of the hour, we'll have Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty on to talk about it some more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Brand new texter in the string here, Jack from Huntsville. Jack, we're glad you're around. Is it a word? What do we got here? Is it a word? Is it a definition? What are we looking at? Bricolage? Bricolage? Is that a word?
Bricolage?
Yeah. A construction made of whatever materials are at hand, something created from a variety of available things. Bricolage. I like that. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Or is it French of bricolage?
Bricolage. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate you that. Glad you're in the text lines. Russell from Rural Route 1. Oh, my gosh. I have a hard time saying it. Russell from you know, I can say that whole thing about the lawyer thing, and I can hardly say Russell from Rural Route 1.
Because you're trying to say it right. It's just Rural Route 1.
Russell Rural Route. Okay, anyway. Just a little quick math. He says, if you take the total budget of the Department of Education and divide it by the total of public school students, it'd be over $5,000 per student. Wow. Nice. I think what we'll also see, too, is that a big part of that budget will go away, though, because a part of that budget does nothing but support the bureaucracy and the payroll and the buildings and all of it in D.C. I mean, there's an amazing amount of money being spent to just support government. That's part of the point here is this is also, you look at it and go, why do we need this? Why do we need centralized control on this? Now, I think that there will still wind up being some standards that have to be enforced. Like, you know, that there will be, you can't have states that you know, basically don't provide education. You can't have states that don't provide lunches for kids. You can't, they'll do some things. But I think by and large, you're going to see the policy making and the jackassery that takes place out of the Department of Education right now. And but think about this. The Department of Education was actually created by, guess who? Jimmy Carter, by executive order. So it hasn't been around forever. It's been around here just in my lifetime. And it's, you know, one of the worst presidents in our history that put it in place. And Jimmy Carter put it there. And what has it accomplished? Nothing. No one can point to anything that it says the Department of Education is responsible for that great success, because education numbers have not climbed. In fact, we have fallen on the world stage with the Department of Education being in place. So how about no? All right, a couple more things here. Just so you know, we had, just an update real quick. We had Laurel Libby on the show last week. She's doing an amazing job being a basically a stand-in-the-gap type person. Laurel Libby, state representative from Maine, who has been censured by the state house in Maine for daring to speak out against the idea of transgender dudes playing women's sports. And Laurel Libby was on this show last week. She's gone viral. She's been on Fox and all these others. She's just like just making a major dent in the issue. Well, guess what? She's also dealing with Governor Janet Mills, the same governor who danced at a drag show where kids were present last year, the same governor who just told Donald Trump she wasn't going to change her policies and is willing to accept the possible loss of revenues and legal action from the AG's office. Well, Governor Janet Mills just had over 500 people show up to protest her, and that hasn't happened before. So the people of Maine are getting sick of it. And I'm just saying, fighting back for kids, this is like a large organized grassroots activist group that got together at the state house in Maine and protest. I have been at our state house in Alabama when people show up on the steps to protest. Getting 50 to 100 people there is a good little gathering. Getting 500 people there is a statement, a true statement. So, yeah. Plus, it's Maine, so it's probably cold. just saying. All right, so yeah, we'll talk in a few minutes here with Emily Jones when she calls in. But one thing I got to point out is the Senate Democrats continue to beclown themselves. I don't know if you saw it. I posted it on my social media. You can follow me on Twitter at @SinPhilWilliams or at Facebook. But they all decided to protest Trump in the Senate. And so 22 separate Democrats all posted the exact same scripted video, like, huh, apparently you're not original.
Not similar. Literally identical.
Identical.
Word for word.
I posted a compilation video. Have you seen that?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, coming up next, Emily Jones, Moms for Liberty. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. And I'm sorry, it's not Meatloaf Monday. What am I doing?
I was about to say,
I got that stuck in my head. Taco Tuesday. It's all about the food, whatever it is. Some of y'all are thinking, am I hearing a recording? Yeah, Taco Tuesday. Hey, listen, we're in the same discussion about fighting for kids. And look, one of my favorite people when it comes to fighting for kids is one of our contributors here. Emily Jones is the founder of Moms for Liberty in Madison, the first Moms for Liberty chapter in the state of Alabama. She's been making waves locally and statewide. And she's also one of our podcasters. She's got the Controversial Mom podcast when the latest edition came out Sunday night, talking about church and politics on that one. So, yeah, let's quit talking and bring her on. Hey, Emily Jones, how you doing?
Doing good. How are y'all?
We're good. Hey, are y'all a Meatloaf house, by the way?
It depends on the situation, but you said that and I literally like turned my head sideways and I'm like, please tell me today is not Monday. Well, had me for a second.
Sorry. Yeah, just it's apparently I got Meatloaf on the brain. All right. Hey, listen, I know you saw the vote from last night, the Tuberville bill. That's our senator, Tommy Tuberville, in the fight for kids. But I want to point out something. You may have heard this. I know you were listening to the show earlier, but he's got several guests tonight. He's doing a speech at the joint session of Congress. And of his four guests, two of them, 50% of them, one's a female athlete who was injured by a dude she had to be in competition with. And the other is a mother who saved her daughter from being transed without her permission by the school system that was trying to do things, you know, without the parents knowing. Take any of that and run with it.
Yeah, I love Trump 2.0 because he is pulling out all the stops. He does not have to worry about reelection. He's ticked off, and he is very comfortable just doing whatever needs to be done. So I think it's hilarious and great that he's platforming these people because they need it. We need to face the reality of what all this ridiculousness in our society has done, not to just women in general, but the face of it. This is what these decisions are doing. So I think it's fabulous that he's doing it. It's horrible that we have these situations, but people need to see this firsthand. These are the consequences of these decisions, or lack of decisions in the case with this Senate vote last night. So I'm extremely happy that he's doing it, and I hope that it helps to wake up all these people that keep saying, well, that's not true, that doesn't happen.
Well, listen, I know you've been in the fray. You've been in the fight for things that are best for kids, and the idea that the school systems don't get to make the decisions that parents should be the ones making. But I also look at this vote last night, and I realize that legislators are elected to vote. I mean, I knew what it was like to go to Montgomery in the state Senate and vote my conscience on behalf of my constituents. But I have a hard time believing that every single Senate Democrat, every single one of them, all felt strongly that having transgender dudes playing girls' sports was really what their constituents wanted and that what they wanted to do themselves. What do you think?
Yeah, it's nonsense. No one actually believes this crap unless they're delusional themselves. But it's funny because last week we were down in Montgomery for the legislative days with the Republican Women's Group. And we were talking to, I can't remember which legislator it was, but they flat out told us that they have, at the state level, they have elected Democrats coming to them to say, we support what you're doing, we support these bills, but we cannot vote to support them because there's so much pressure within the Democratic Party that if we go on the record voting one way, you know, in favor of these things with you guys, we'll be destroyed. So, I mean, that's at the state level. There's the pressure on them at a congressional level is unthinkable. So I don't think they agree with any of it, but they absolutely have no choice if they want to continue to run as a Democrat. They have to vote for it, which is really sad. And also I'm a little jealous because I wish people feared the Republican Party that much and voted based on our platform and what we believe versus just doing what they want. But, you know, maybe one day.
You know what? Here's the thing, though. And I hear you say that, but I have often found to be true that when people say, oh, this is political suicide, man, you don't want to go down that road. You might want to take a walk on this bill. Don't get on the record. That every single time you just stand up and look everybody in the eye and go, you know, screw y'all. This is what I'm here for. They always respect that. I had never found a time when I was voting contrary to the flow that somebody didn't look at me and go, well, I respect that. And they may not like it. But then, you know what? I also never got beat. So I got reelected. I mean, I had teachers union folks telling me they were going to make sure I never got reelected because I dared to do these things. And I had guys that were quaking in their boots around me because the teachers union might come after me. Well, they came after me hard. And guess what? I went back for a second term. I mean, I just wish more people would take a I don't care what you think stand.
Yeah, well, ask RFK and Tulsi Gabbard how it worked out for them when they did it, because I think they would agree that it was worth the battle.
Absolutely worth the battle. And look where they are right now. They're the ones who are still standing. What is it? Scripture says, you will look for them and they will not be found. Well, that's the bad guys. The ones who stand are the ones you're still seeing.
Absolutely.
Well, so let's talk about that for a minute. So Tuberville's bill went down on a straight party line vote last night. He had to have 60, which meant we needed some defectors. I say defectors. It shouldn't be a defect. But we need some people to come over across the aisle. And they didn't do it. So the vote is now down. We got it through the House with a couple of Democrats joining. Couldn't get it in the Senate. It's a state fight for right now. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, and thank God Alabama's kind of ahead of them on this. We passed that a while back, and hey, we now know what a woman is in the state of Alabama. 3 years later, we finally got that done. I've not harped on that enough. I know. But yeah, I mean, it absolutely is a state fight now. I mean, you've got places like Maine. Y'all were talking about that earlier. They're, at least for the moment, they're digging their heels in, and they're going to let this happen. I'm sure California will do the same. New York, you know, all the crazy ones. But it really does come down to individual states at this point until we can figure out another strategy to get it done at a federal level. I mean, maybe Trump pulling back all their money will help them figure it out, but it absolutely is going to be an individual state battle, and probably even from there, it's going to be a local school battle, because you're going to have schools within these crazy blue states that don't want to do it, and they're going to have to fight from within just to figure out how you survive by implementing that policy when your state's saying, no, we're not, but your federal government's saying, yes, we are.
Well, and I'm wondering if it's ever going to get to the Supreme Court. Because I mean, the Supreme Court is going to sit still for the idea. I mean, we already know that Title IX has been protected now. The Biden administration is out, and the Trump administration brought a whole new day in for that. And the Supreme Court, if I'm not mistaken, pretty much put an end to the idea of regulatory interpretations of laws now without congressional action. But I'm not so sure that we're through with this idea that states can try to perpetrate transgenderism in education and in sports without somebody having to sue and take it all the way to the Supreme Court in an affirmative action. I mean, I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I get really confused on that whole thing, to be honest with you. So we've got where, because did the Supreme Court officially rule on Title IX, or did Biden end up just pulling it back because it was trending towards the Supreme Court?
Well, one of the main things that happened was a separate case that said that they could no longer use what was known as the Chevron rule, which allowed the different departments to, quote unquote, interpret the law because they weren't sure what Congress meant, so they could interpret it how they saw fit. And so that went away. The Chevron rule is no longer there. They have to either have clarity or get Congress to give them clarity. They can't interpret it for themselves. So I think one of the things that we saw, though, was that Title IX is protected just on that grounds alone.
That's right. I remember this now. But it's been a very active 6 months.
Oh, my gosh. It's been like, you know, like flying in a helicopter with the doors open. But and JP was just saying a minute ago, JP, you just saw another state just declare the What Is a Woman Act? Who is that?
The Indiana Governor Mike Braun signed two executive orders recognizing the biological binary of man and woman and protecting girls from boys invading their sports.
Okay,
so that was about 20 minutes ago.
Those were executive orders 20 minutes ago. And he's what state?
Indiana.
Indiana, that's right. Well, good. All right. Outstanding.
Nice.
Well, listen, there's more room for this, but it ain't going to happen without parental involvement. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to, like y'all are talking about, it's going to take parents getting involved, moms going into the locker room with a big stick and just whacking people over the head and telling them to get out. it's going to get to that point because, I mean, people are fed up with it. They just, no one believes this crap anymore. And you've got all three branches of government and you still can't figure this out. So I just think that the tolerance level has been exceeded and parents are really going to get ticked off. And now, thankfully, parents have a way to report this nonsense to the Department of Ed.
Yep.
So, you know, the Dear Colleague letter went out a couple weeks ago that basically told public schools you have until the 28th to get rid of all this radical DEI nonsense in your schools or potentially lose funding. So we've been busy submitting complaints in the state of Alabama. And
no, not you.
I would not ever stir that pot. I did it, and then I sent it to three or four other people and said, hey, you should submit one too. But like you said, they've got the Secretary of Education confirmed, and she's ready to dismantle it. So now is the time for parents to step up because you've got more support than ever. But no one knows the details of what's going on in the school more than the actual parent of the child.
That's right. And no one should know more. And no one should have more decision-making authority than the actual parent or legal guardian of the child. You know, and I guess the last thought on this, too, is if we don't see this, here's one of the reasons why it has to be a federal issue on this, because it's a true gender discrimination issue, really. And we already protect, you know, race-based discrimination, gender-based discrimination from the federal level. This is what that is. But you're also going to have a patchwork quilt. If you've got somebody in Arizona that's in a state that recognizes only man and woman and California won't, guess what? You have cross-border sports. You have teams in Arizona that have to play teams in California. What are you going to do?
Right.
And so it's going to be a weird dynamic if they don't start getting a handle on it pretty soon.
Well, and then the federal funding that goes into all of them. I mean, there's not a school out there that doesn't get Title IX funding.
Yep.
So are you going to penalize one state's program and not another? I mean, it just gets dicey really quick. So they're going to have to deal with it very, very quick. I mean, and they kind of have, right? They've done the executive orders and all that, and they've said if you don't comply, we're pulling back federal funding. But they're going to have to get to the point of following through on that, making a couple of examples. And then I think schools will get in line. But it's just going to take time, but they're going to have to do it.
Well, they're going to have to do it. And right now, I feel like we've been given breathing room to do it, even though we lost the vote last night because of Democrats. But all right, Emily Jones, host of the Controversial Mom podcast as part of the Right Side family and also with Moms for Liberty. Thanks again, as always.
Thank you.
See ya. All right, we're taking a break. We'll come right back. I'll get a couple of text messages and get ready for our next guest. Folks, I'm just telling you, this issue ain't going away. You know why? Because it's about our kids, that's why. And they're worth fighting for. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I really do think it's significant. Tonight's speech for Trump. And first of all, it's not been categorized officially that I'm aware of as a State of the Union address. I mean, he's only been there for, what, 45 days? How long has it been in office? Is it not even 60 days? Maybe 40, 45 days?
Something like that, yeah. Around there.
Yeah.
It's not officially a State of the Union, but that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, but you know what? The amount of change he's already put into place has been pretty epic.
The State of the New Union.
I know.
The 45-day exactly. Old New Union.
I do think it is absolutely significant that 50% of his guests tonight are related to the idea of protecting kids. He's got four guests, just a reminder. Bradley Jay announced this on his social media. Bradley Jay announced that Trump has his guest for tonight's address, the widow of a murdered NYPD officer, a guy named Jonathan Diller. I'm not positive, but I think he might have been killed by an illegal alien. I'm not positive. Family of a Pennsylvania firefighter, Corey Comparatore, who is the guy who died when the assassination attempt on Trump failed in Butler, Pennsylvania. And then the other two, one is a female athlete, a volleyball player, who suffered a spike to the face by a dude who wasn't even supposed to be playing women's sports. Spike to her face, and she's got traumatic brain injury from it. And the other is a mother who saved her daughter when the school system was trying to keep secret from the parents that they were helping her transition. You know, don't tell your mom and dad. We'll help you with that because, you know, we know better than your parents. Well, the mom found out and stepped in and saved her daughter. And guess what? She's a guest tonight at the State of the Union or the speech. That's huge, in my opinion, and should not be overlooked.
I think it would be awesome if, you know, when Trump was introducing the volleyball player who played against a male athlete, just say, you know what? You got 45 Democrats who voted to continue what just happened to
he
you.
He probably will.
And I will soak every second of it up.
I think he should. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how many of them won't even be in the room. There's a bunch of them that are allegedly going to protest by not being there or, I don't know, all wearing their matching dresses or matching ties. Who knows?
We'll miss their presence so much.
Yeah. Thomas Mathen says, not a single Dem to support this bill. Got them on the record. Start developing those political ads to primary those misguided trans Dems or best them in some general election. Says there are 13 Dems up in 2026, including John Ossoff from Georgia. So my wife and I plan to join up with the mighty Alabama Strike Force to put our 80-year-old boots on the ground and campaign door-to-door for Ossoff's opponent. Yeah, thank you, by the way, Thomas, for that. And if you're not familiar, by the way, the Alabama Republican Party is very strong in terms of being there for our neighboring states. The Mighty Alabama Task Force, I was just texting with somebody else a moment ago about Joan Reynolds, who has headed up that effort on behalf of the state party for the last several years or several election cycles. She's done an amazing job. And they do. They call it the Mighty Alabama Strike Force. And they go knock on doors in other states to help Republicans prevail in their election efforts. And they're indefatigable. I mean, they do an amazing job. So thank you, Thomas, for being one of those.
It's really a shame Georgia has two Democratic senators.
Oh, it's awful.
It's got to change.
It's awful. I mean, it's just...
I get they were elected in 2020, which, you know, all the madness with that election, but still, it doesn't seem right.
It's awful. Warnock. Yeah. What a cartoon that guy is.
And Herschel Walker almost beat him. And
I know.
You know.
And Herschel Walker's got a heart of gold, man.
Yeah.
Bobby from Huntsville says, I hope tonight's speech includes how all the Democrats voted on the men and women's sports and show everyone who voted for this and how they can get a list of names for everybody who voted. Well, the list of names is out there. All you got to do is look in the news or social media. But yes, you might as well go ahead and say, give me the Democrat roll call. And there it is. All right, coming up next, we got a guest, Macy Petty, a former collegiate athlete, now with Concerned Women for America. She knows firsthand what it's like to have to play against a dude, and she's got thoughts on it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. I'm saying, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, this show goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden, and all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn and stretching over to Fort Benning. And y'all, I do mean there's even big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're going back to the phones right now. I've got a guest coming on who's not been on the show before, but man, she is out there making waves already. So Macy Petty is coming in just a moment here. Macy Petty, she is a four-year NCAA volleyball collegiate athlete, played at Lee University, which is right here in our listening area up there, I believe in Cleveland, Tennessee. And she got involved in legislative matters when she was still in her dorm room in college. And she is now currently working as a legislative strategist and a women's sports spokesperson for the National Organization of Concerned Women for America, which is a great organization, very conservative, very solid, very well-respected. Macy Petty also, though, by the way, can talk firsthand about what it's like to have to play against a dude who thinks he's a chick playing in women's sports, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. So let me just quit talking and bring her on right now. Macy Petty, welcome to Right Side Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for making time. Hey, listen, before we go too much further, am I correct that you were there last night when the vote went down in the Senate?
I was, yes. I currently live on Capitol Hill, so I've been in the nitty-gritty following this bill and was there in the Senate gallery watching as the senators were casting their votes on the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act.
So let me ask you this. I mean, were they just casting their votes reluctantly, or were they like joyful to vote no on this? I mean, were they hanging their head in shame, or were they up in arms and excited to do it?
Oh, it depends on the senator. Some of them couldn't be more proud to replace women in sports with men, but some of them, you could tell they knew that the vote that they were casting was the end of their political career. They went up there and they were kind of reluctant. I would like to believe the Lord was convicting their hearts, but they knew what they were doing and they cast their vote anyway.
Yeah, all of them, like in lockstep. So is there, I know that you were up there doing your part, lobbying for good conservative policy through Concerned Women for America, but who were the groups up there lobbying against the bill? I mean, I can imagine who they were, but who did you see out there doing the lobbying on the opposite side of the aisle?
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of them in the gallery supporting it, but I'm sure a lot of that happens behind the scenes, you know. And I'm sure a lot of them are the groups that financially profit off of mutilating children's bodies, because ultimately that's what this comes down to.
Yeah.
But like I said, none of them were there to openly champion this or stand there in person as the votes were cast, because few people want their faces actually attached to something that has such bad public opinion ratings.
Yeah, and there's quite a few of them. They're actually up for re-election in 2026, and some of them from what I would call purple states, even leaning red states like Ossoff in Georgia.
Ossoff in Georgia, that's exactly right. He is up for re-election in 2026, and Georgians are not happy about this. 73% of Georgians oppose men and women's sports, and that's what Ossoff is going to have to answer to in 2026.
Yeah, you know, and I saw a poll that said that generally speaking, on a national level, upwards of 79% of Americans on both parties agree that men and women's sports is a bad idea and they don't want it. 79%. And I said, I jokingly say, you could poll, do you love your mother? You wouldn't get 79%. And
right. I heard somebody joke that this bill's more popular than ice cream. And I think you just couldn't be more right. It's so funny. But you're right. 79% of respondents. And you know who conducted that poll? It was the New York Times.
Oh.
Even the New York Times admits 79% of people see clearly on this issue.
Wow. Well, I know you see clearly on it. Obviously, you're doing the work on it. But let me ask you this. You I understand you had a situation where when you were being recruited to play, you know, by college scouts, you had to play mm-hmm. against a guy at one point. What was that experience?
Yeah, absolutely. So I, like you said, played college volleyball. I'm really tall. Your listeners can't tell that over the radio, but I'm really tall. My dad is 6'8", so as soon as I can walk, they started teaching me how to play sports. But I knew pretty early on I wanted to play college volleyball, and so did all the things that kids don't typically want to do. I spent a lot of time in the gym, practicing my skills, weightlifting, sprinting, doing those things, and got involved in club volleyball because that's kind of the gateway into college sports, because these big club national tournaments are where scouts, college scouts, can see all of the athletes at once. And of course, I never got to go to prom or do vacations or anything like that because I was always at these club tournaments. But at one tournament in particular, I walked up to the court and I saw a lot of college scouts there to evaluate our skills. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm nervous. This is kind of my moment where I need to show off the things I had been working on for so long.
Yeah.
And then I look at my opponent and he's in basketball shorts. And I was like, what is going on? And I see him play. I'm like, this is not right. This is a boy. You know, it's pretty obvious. But this was five or six years ago at this point. And so this wasn't really a debate happening on a national stage. It was certainly not, you know, a presidential campaign promise by any means. This wasn't something people were talking about. And so I just kind of assumed that it was cheating and that the rulemakers were going to find out about it and put a stop to it. And I couldn't be more wrong. Obviously, this has only continued since then. And I learned that these rulemakers didn't have our best interest in mind or fairness in general. And so I was asked to testify for the first time, like you said, when I was a freshman in college, just from my dorm room at Lee. And when I first heard of a Save Women's Sports bill that said that boys have to play on boys' teams, I'll tell you, I thought it was the stupidest thing I have ever heard in my life. It's like, what do you mean we need a bill that says boys have to play on boys' teams? But I testified on it anyway, and it didn't pass because they told me this wasn't a real issue, that I was making it up. But here we are, 5 years later now, and the president has promised to restore integrity to women's sports, and he followed through on that. I was able to be there on stage with the president as he signed the historic Keeping Men Out of Women's Sports executive order, and of course we're now seeing Congress work together to try and codify these protections. Unfortunately, there are Senate Democrats who are completely committed to blocking such protections, but it's amazing to see how this issue has developed and seen how it has emboldened female athletes in their pursuit of truth and their defense of truth in their communities and public square.
Well, so you were actually there the day that Trump signed the executive order. And
I was,
and that was such a great moment. And I look at it and I thought, Democrats handed him, first of all, a political coup. They just handed it to him.
Oh my goodness.
But then
I know.
But
that,
then let me ask you this. The mood looked like it was jubilant. It looked sincere. And my question was, Democrats say it was showboating on his part, but my view was he appeared to be very heartfelt and sincere in it.
Oh, it absolutely was. I couldn't help but tear up a little bit as I was standing up there and I watched the president of the United States come up and just acknowledge all of the, you know, truly like heartfelt champion female athletics and promise to stand with them and us. There were some girls there who were maybe five or six and just starting to kick a soccer ball around. And then there's also athletes like myself and Riley who have faced the, you know, of course, fallout of putting men in women's sports and have since retired out of college sports, but are still in the fight because of what we experienced and trying to protect the next generation. And so it was really cool to just see the multi-generation standing on stage and having a president, like you said, that was just truly championing female athletics and just the joy that we were able to share on stage. Because like I said, many of us were in this when we were told this wasn't a real issue. So to see someone who recognized just how much the former administration had been putting on female athletes, it was a wonderful, beautiful time.
Well, that is so cool you got to be there that day. And let me ask you this. We got about 3 minutes left here. So one of the things that I think we're going to deal with now that we don't have a law in place at the national level is this patchwork quilt of states doing their thing. Some states, Tennessee, Alabama, a number of others, we just heard Indiana today, mm-hmm. are saying mm-hmm. ain't going to happen in our state. But then you got California, you got Maine, you got a bunch of others that are. You're going to have, I mean, as a collegiate athlete, you had to cross state lines to play other schools. So
absolutely,
the NCAA has got to get their act together on this.
You're exactly right. And there is federal legislation. There's been federal legislation for 50 plus years. It's called Title IX, and it
True.
Says on the basis of sex. But we have, of course, presidents who have been unwilling to recognize that it's on the basis of sex. And so while I'm grateful for President Trump and his wonderful executive order that is protecting women's sports, we have already seen that he is committed to implementing that in his administration. But we, of course, need to codify those protections and that clarification that men have to play on men's teams under Title IX protections. And so Senator Tuberville, of course, has been just a fearless leader on this issue in the Senate. Got to watch him vote for his legislation last night, which was such an honor because I know that that's something he's worked so hard on. But of course, the vote did not go through and it failed via filibuster. But public opinion is only increasing on this. You mentioned that New York Times poll, which increased 10% in only a year.
Yeah.
So as we see President Trump implement the fact that boys have to play on boys' teams and girls have to play on girls' teams, I think public opinion is only going to keep growing. And hopefully, of course, politics will adjust and these senators who are completely out of step will eventually get out of the way of the American people in our political representative process. But we also shouldn't forget that, of course, S9 failed last night, but we also have H.R. 28, which is the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, which passed in the House.
Right.
So the Senate does have another opportunity to vote on this. Hopefully we can get some more support on the ground and have people let their senators know how they can best represent them when they go to vote on this legislation. So there definitely is a bright future ahead and lots of opportunities to continue working to codify those protections.
Well, you are an excellent spokesperson for your cause. Let me just go ahead and tell you.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
No, so do I. I mean, literally, this was we got this connection here an hour before I went on the air, and I never had a chance to speak to you before, but I'm just sitting back thinking you've got a career in being a spokesperson. There's that.
Oh, you're so funny. Well, thank you. I, like I said, started off just a scared little freshman in my dorm room, but we have a program called Young Women for America, and the entire program is just focused on equipping young high school, college, and young adult females who want to go out and maybe have a passion for policy or just defending truth in general. And so the whole program is focused on equipping young women for that call that the Lord's leading them to. And so I'm very grateful for the way it has equipped me to do things like this.
Well, it's awesome. And you work with Concerned Women for America. Is there a
That's
website
right.
you want to direct people to so they can go find out more about it?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's concernedwomen.org. We have a great, we have different state chapters, but also ambassador programs and influencer programs for anyone who wants to get involved. And we're a Christian nonprofit, so we just want to help equip women to go out and defend truth in the public sphere.
Oh, it's outstanding. Well, listen, on behalf of my wife, my daughter, my granddaughter, thank you very much. Stay in the fight. And we're going to have you back on again. All right.
Oh, well, I look forward to it. Thank you so much and have a blessed rest of your day.
Thanks, Macy Petty. We appreciate you. Yeah, that was great. I mean, man, does she not have her, you know, her firsthand knowledge and legislative knowledge together on this issue? I mean, she's actually there last night to watch the vote. She was actually there when Trump signed the executive order. She was actually on the court with a dude playing against her trying out for collegiate volleyball. And then she was a four-year collegiate athlete herself. All right, we will keep tabs on her because I think she's going to be doing some stuff. In the meantime, we're going to take a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, listen, that was an amazing segment. In fact, Paul from Athens just texted in. He says, Phil, great segment. What if state schools, he asked, boycott sports schedules with schools across state lines if they have trans athletes? That's going to happen. That's already been happening. It already has. If you look at it, San Jose State, this has been a major flashpoint. San Jose State out in California has a dude on the girls' team. And thereafter, multiple girls' volleyball team, female volleyball teams, collegiate athletes, the teams boycotted and said they would not play. And it became quite the thing. They were literally defaulting taking the loss simply because they weren't going to subject their female athletes to that, and they also weren't going to condone that. It's two parts. One is protecting the girls from somebody who's on the court that should not have the physical advantages that they have. They shouldn't even be there. But the second thing is, if you go ahead and go forward with the game, then it's as if you're condoning the behavior. You're saying, we can do this, we'll play that. No, you don't play that. So yes, I think you're going to see more of that. There were, I think, JP, you can help me here, but I think there were three or four different colleges that all boycotted and forfeited their games against San Jose State. But then, oh, here's the thing, though, by the way. The San Jose State coach and the captain of the team on their own team filed suit on the issue because they didn't want the person on their team, and they were being told they had to have the person on their team. How's that? How many schools was it?
Five.
Five.
Mm-hmm.
Five separate colleges says no.
Yes. Wow. It says Wyoming and Nevada did not qualify for the tournament, I believe, because they canceled their game with them.
They lost out on a tournament opportunity.
This is what this article from AP News says. So,
you know what? And that's so jacked up because every one of those girls, Macy Petty was on a minute ago. She was a volleyball player. It's a rigorous sport. They spend years getting ready for the day. They're playing at the NCAA level, and they lose out on an opportunity for a tournament because there's a dude playing on a girls' team.
And San Jose State seeded second in their tournament because of – so they got six total forfeit wins. I think five of those were within their conference. So six total forfeit wins against San Jose State that season.
Am I correct saying it was the San Jose coach herself that filed suit?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Look at San Jose volleyball coach lawsuit and see what comes up when you do that. While he's looking for that, I will tell you this. We're going to have a session here in a minute with Jeff Poore calling in. There's been a change in the subject here. Next on the Triple Dipper, I'm going skipping forward to Meet the Press. There has been a shift in the dynamic of the media world. It has been something else to watch as the media is on its heels. And, oh, by the way, the new media is different than the old media. And we'll talk to Jeff about that. What you got?
Yeah, so the plaintiffs in this lawsuit were a co-captain for the team, the head coach, and then 10 other current and former Mountain West volleyball players all filed suit.
The co-captain of the team,
mm-hmm.
and the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Sue their own school
yeah.
to be allowed to get one of their people off the team, and the school wouldn't let them do it.
Yeah, well, and even if the school is, you know, forward or whatever, I mean, these are the players that got to share a locker room with them.
That's right.
And the coach has got to sit back and let it happen, see the guy go into the locker room every day and know she can't do anything.
Unreal.
It's unbelievably messed up.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unstinking believable.
Well, hey, at least the NCAA did something about it, right? Not.
Yeah. Sort of, kind of.
A for show policy.
A little whitewashing of the issue there. All right, coming up next, like I said, we're switching gears. We're going to Meet the Press. Going to talk about the shift that has happened in the world of media in the last 10 years, especially the onset of, Instagram influencers and podcasters and non-traditional media outlets. Like right here in Alabama, you got Right Side Media and 1819 News. And then it's happening on a national level when you got groups like Daily Wire that now have press passes to the White House. I mean, it's a whole new day. You've even got them being kicked out of the Pentagon for taking up desk space and not sharing the room with some of the new guys. We'll talk about all of it with Jeff Poore calling in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.